From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.
Welcome to Postcard from Pop Brad on a very challenging day, it's got to be said. We'll come to that later, maybe. I'm Eric Wiltshire at the base of the glorious Tatry Mountains, over here in Pop Brad, in the east of Slovakia. It's the programme, it's called Postcard from Pop Brad. Over there in the whatever it is of Europe, the bit that's not Europe, that wants to be, that doesn't know what it's going to be, whether it is or it isn't, it's Lee Banks.
Hello, everybody. May I say that I am in control of everything to do with high-tech and computers and everything else, and welcome to another day on this wonderful cyberspace of a planet.
That is known in Slovakia as Pinocchio Noza, little liar. In Gay Paris, it's Mark Gander with a crash machine.
Yes, hello there. Well, it's Grey Perry and Brown Perry if you're looking downwards. And yes, my computer's just totally crashed. I'm now on a laptop using a very, very shaky wireless system. I hope it's all right.
Ooh, well, it's shaking all right to get... Well, it's getting it shaking it all through. And down in Queensland, down in Australia, it's past midnight, Rach.
Yes, it is. And I'm in a backwards cardigan being dragged out of here by two men in white uniforms. But it's all right.
And may I say, ladies and gentlemen, she's been telling me off this morning.
I can well, it makes a lot of sense to me. Hi to the guys at Talk Radio, X Replay Radio, RTI, and of course you lovely folks on Audio Boo. Thank you to Ustream as always, and just about anywhere else that we happen to be going, because it's getting more and more bizarre by the day. This week a special where we're looking at technology and also how we can save you some money.
Yay!
Because what tends to happen, to explain this, a lot of good tech doesn't make headlines in the press, so we thought we'd bring a lot of those things to you. Try and get rid of some myths about tech and house equipment or home appliances, call it what you will. Just going back for a couple of weeks now, we mentioned that by 2014, every new car made... by most of the manufacturers, they're saying it will be connected to the interweb. Now, that's great, but what about the rest of us?
Well, yeah, mine's going to crash
the interweb. You should have a place where you plug it in and can get an update.
Well, something like that. Who's going to crash again? You, Mark?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you go along, you're driving along the M1, and suddenly, which for you, not in England, is a motorway up the middle of England, and, suddenly you get the blue screen of death.
Yes, okay.
Yes.
Well, that's the other crazy thing. Do you know, most cars have a radio in the middle, an old conventional FM radio, and they have one speaker close to the driver, and they have another...
That's the missus.
Oh, is that right? Yes, that's figures. On the other side, you have another speaker. Now, to me, that is not balanced stereo.
That's a point I've always thought, actually, yes. So how can that be balanced stereo?
It's not. So the only way you can get balanced stereo is to put your nose on the gear stick, listen to the radio and crash.
Well, you don't have to crash.
No,
that isn't obligatory if you want to hear in stereo. You just have to lean over to the middle. Well, you can also rebalance your speakers.
That doesn't work properly either. So there's a whole load of myths. Anyway, coming back to the radio thing, do you know... People used to laugh at me years ago because I had a...
People still are laughing.
Thank you. I had, in the back of my car, a laptop.
Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. How many times have we told this story?
And you know that I used to have that in the car so I could listen to internet radio driving around Slovakia.
And I stood on the top of the High Tatras Mountains with you while we played with it.
You did indeed. And so we know that this technology that they're talking about for 2014 is already available. The trouble is, if you haven't got a new car and you don't want to go and buy a Ponzi radio, the chances are that you can do all of this with your Bluetooth phone. You can listen to the internet radio in your car.
I've downloaded it as an experiment for the ladies and gentlemen. I've actually downloaded it onto my phone.
Gosh. Can we have three copies of that in writing?
I'll send copies to anybody you want. It doesn't work.
Oh.
I've done it.
But we will be coming on to why that's important in a bit. But first of all, something very good for your car. Not been in the headlines. I cannot understand for the life of me why.
Yeah,
you probably will, you Luddite. There is a new phone out with a battery life of 15 years.
Mine's got 15 minutes.
Sorry?
Oh, who's going? I'll go. Mine's got about 15 minutes, so 15 years would be awesome.
15?
It's not true, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, it is. It is true. No. Secondly...
Can I just ask, how big is the battery? Is that what you have to keep in the back of your car now?
That's in the trailer, yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, it's a conventional-sized battery, AAA battery, yeah. which enables the phone to be sitting there for 15 years as long as you don't use it. But, second...
How long does it last if you use it?
10 hours of talk time.
10 hours of talk time? How long does a normal battery last? Well, like Rachel says, 15 minutes.
10 hours of talk time on an average cheapy phone. Yeah.
It's but, still a lot of rubbish.
But not only that, this phone does not need a SIM card in it to dial the emergency services.
But if you don't, what happens if you don't want to dial the emergency services?
Then you put a SIM card in and you can phone your mum.
That's like phoning the emergency services.
Now, this phone is going to become available this year. It's going to be $99, which is about... sort of 50 quid, something like that, about 60 euros. It will be available in America, Europe, Africa. Oceania, Rachel?
Yay!
So you're getting one as well. And,
thank goodness.
And Lee posed the question, he said, well, what's the point of it? I'm going,
what's the point I'm making of to the ladies and gentlemen? There is no point to it.
So let me paint a picture.
Oh,
You've gone rushing out late at night... and some idiot hits you in the car, you've left your mobile phone at home, you, with this thing, can phone the police.
You certainly can. But how often is that going to happen in a 15-year period?
You don't know, but that, why do you bother having car insurance? Why do you have water
all
in the back
time,
of your car?
All the time, because I just drive around at night time looking for crime to report.
Looking for crime to report?
There you go, you see.
Like, you know, people stealing trolleys or graffitiing walls or, you know, stabbing each other, you know, whatever.
Right. This thing also includes a torch, which is built into it.
Can I just take a quick word with Rachel about this? And how many times when you were out doing all this driving around looking for people stabbing walls and things like that, how often did you break down and have to use a phone to phone people up?
Well, never, but I'm
there you are!
It'd be nice to be prepared.
It would be.
Because right now I just drive around just looking at crime. I can't actually report it.
Hang on, I've just tumbled it. I have just tumbled it. Mark, when you're driving in France, you have to have like an emergency kit in the back of your car, don't you?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I
mean, and a triangle and a safety jacket and various other things. It's pan-European law apart from England.
Yeah. Triangle of pan?
Pan-European law. Thank you. So, Mark understands this. I understand this. Is there a rule like that down in Oz, Rach?
No, you just have to... you don't have to have anything in the booty of your ass, unless you have got no, you know, like dead bodies or drugs or something.
Oh, well, then you're right. Well, you see, we understand this philosophy because if you go to Poland, for example, you would get a ticket if you don't have a fire extinguisher in your car.
Yeah.
So the mentality of the Brits and the Aussies is, why would I want a phone like this? Because they're not used to being prepared like Mark and I are when we're driving a car, because we have to have all these wonderful emergency things in the back of the car to help out other motorists who get in distress.
The only time you get in trouble in Australia for something in your boot is if your spare tyre is unroadworthy. Then you'll get a ticket, but that's about it.
Right.
And having a phone in your car doesn't make you a Mark Boy Scouts. That doesn't mean you're prepared. You've got a phone in your pocket, or the person who's sitting next to you has got a phone. You are
they
not going to get... They might have.
They might have.
Because how many times you break down? I don't break down in my Bentley. I just get in it and drive. It never breaks down, so I don't need a phone.
And you hit things with it.
Also, if you want, you can get a cheaper phone than that. You can go to Tesco's and get a phone for a fiver.
We're coming to that in a minute. But my point of view is, if you've got a mum or dad, what a great thing to give them for their car to put in there. You know where they are. If they need to phone an emergency services when they're out, they have no problem. No contract.
Yeah.
And not even a SIM card, but they can still phone the emergency services. Got to be worth 50 quid of anybody's money.
Bye. favour. Do it for some Tesco's or any other kind of supermarket that does this kind of deal. Do it for a fiver. Why spend 50 quid? You don't need a phone that lasts for 15 years. 15 minutes, you can charge it in your car on your cigarette lighter thing.
But people don't always know that, Lee. They don't do it.
Well, they do now because I've just ranted about it.
Right, another one that's come up and got... Whoa. Sorry, Mark, what was you going to say?
No, I didn't say anything.
Oh, I thought you did.
I'm listening.
I thought you were going to jump in. Do you see the value in this?
Well, I mean, I suppose sort of. I mean, if you happen to have an old phone lying around, you just want to keep it in emergencies and you have it permanently in your car and, you know, not lose the SIM because that's the one you keep in your pocket. I suppose it's got some value.
Yeah.
Assuming you want to help other people.
Well, the other thing is, if you're using a pay-as-you-go SIM card, after a certain period of time, it runs out, unless you top it up.
Yeah.
If you don't use your pay-as-you-go.
Yes.
Who nicks that then?
No, they're not nicking it. If you don't top your pay-as-you-go card up, eventually it stops functioning.
That's because you run out of money on it.
No, because you haven't used it. You just keep having to top it up all the time.
That's a bit of a con as well, isn't it?
So what I'm saying is there's no cost for a SIM card. It lasts 15 years. It's even got GPS in to tell you where you're located if you're not sure.
Yeah.
So when the emergency services do it, if they have to come out to you, they know where you are as well. It's got to be worth it for an aged parent or auntie or uncle as a nice little thing to leave in their car for them.
That's a terrible thing. So if you buy time on your phone and don't bother to use it because you're saving it for a special occasion, ultimately they come along and take it off you.
Yeah.
Well, why don't they do it? Like you buy a sandwich from Tesco's or any other leading supermarket and you don't eat it, why don't Tesco's come down and take it off you?
I agree totally. But that's what happens.
That's despicable. That's a news story.
That's what happens. Anyway, moving along to another one that never gets into the newspapers. I think this is wonderful.
What?
Walking stick.
This is ridiculous as
well.
That's
right. This is the walking stick with a GPS in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't need it on a walking stick. You need it in a wheelchair. But if you can't walk, you've got a walking stick. Where are you going to follow your GPS to? I've made myself cough now.
Good. the prototype of this was shown at the Mobile World Congress in Barcelona.
Mobile world, it's like, well, it just keeps on the move, does it?
No, that's new technology, you Luddite. But anyway, Fujitsu will also bring out a new phone in Europe in June. And guess where they're launching it, Mark?
France?
Yes. Yes.
Why are you launching it in France? What's France got to do with it?
Actually, there's a lot of stuff gets launched in France for some reason. I don't understand why.
Are we still talking about the walking stick?
Yeah.
And they launched
it. So it was a new phone by Fujitsu?
Yeah.
Walking sticks.
God.
That fooled me as well. It's not very often we agree, but that fooled me as well. Yeah. This high-tech stuff's fairly interesting, you know, Rachel. I really get on with this, don't you?
I'll tell you what, Lee. If my life depended on you tuning my pushbike bell, I wouldn't bother.
I would just fit you with a horn, dear. It's not the first horn you've had for a while.
That's very rude.
Anyway, moving along to some other internet stories. Court orders in the UK have ordered ISPs to block more piracy sites. They include, and I'm not saying naughty words, Kickass Torrents, H33T and Fonopia are also being blocked as a result of the British phonographic industry.
What graphic?
British phonographic.
Oh, phonographic, right.
Stop it. I wasn't going there.
Well, it sort of did. It found its own way there, actually.
Yes. One of the leaders of the Pirate Party in the UK said the ban on the Pirate Bay was the BPI out of control. What a pillock you are, mate.
Absolutely.
What a pillock you are.
But where does he live?
I don't know, but in the UK somewhere.
Well, I'm going to go around to his front garden and cut his flowers. keep them. I think I've got right to. I think there's a right to everybody's flowers.
Have you?
Yeah, I've got daffodils.
Okay, right, yes.
Supermarket, you know, do that. Come and take your sandwiches off. You don't eat. You go around and cut his flowers. That's the way.
You know, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, you know, you look, flowers. I mean, you know, they're sort of, you know, nourished from the ground, and the ground really is sort of universal human right. And if he's got flowers there, then I'm going to take them.
All right.
Well, if that's the case, then dogs should be allowed to poo where they like in France.
Ah,
oh, they do. They do, Rachel. Believe me, they do.
Anyway, tying in with that story, allegedly rumoured, according to a new research document that's come out for 2013, online music piracy across the world has declined significantly.
Now, that's a good thing.
But I don't think it's as a result of banning these sites.
No, what do you think is a reason? Why has it happened then?
I actually think that the big organisations that are into, you know, the movie companies, music companies and things like that, have suddenly woken up to the fact that if they put their product at the right price that's suitable for the consumer, they won't pirate, they won't download pirate stuff. They'd rather have the original. Rather like me going into a shop here, as my other half did for me, bless her, and brought me Skyfall, the DVD, legitimately for €7.
Yeah, right.
A couple of years ago...
Paid too much for it.
I knew I was going to get that. A couple of years ago, a new movie like that would have cost you at least three times that.
Yeah, 30 bucks in Australia for a new one.
Yeah, so if they bring the cost down to something that the consumer feels comfortable with, they won't go to the pirate sites because they would rather have the legit one, but they want to keep it in the price bracket where they think the value is. And I'm absolutely convinced that if you look at music download costs now, they, in real terms, they've come down, not gone up.
I think I have a perfect example of how big business is, entertainment businesses are actually using this to their advantage, using piracy to their advantage. Would you like me to explain?
Well, kind of. If your sound stays there, yes.
Did I disappear again? Then? Yes. I thought I had. My ears went
solid. Going off and on, actually.
Yeah, you sound like Norman Collier, but everybody else is too old to know that.
Anyway, no.
Huh?
Doyen of musical intrigue, Bob Dylan, his record label, what they actually do is have a call on the internet every few weeks and take down every video and every piece of music that's been put on YouTube and equivalent sites. And just take it off, clear it off completely. But what they're actually doing is it's become like a sort of race now for people to find the latest bit of pirated Bob Dylan stuff that is on the net. And that in itself is creating a phenomenal market in downloads and record sales.
Well, that's a good thing.
That's what I just said. Sort of Norman Collier way.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. But the point is, the International Federation of Phonographic Industries said the accelerating digital market sales had caused a 0.3% upturn in global sales. And I understand that, but I really do think, and this is a message from me, you three can have yours, to the entertainment sector. If you price your product at the right price and don't overprice it, keep it in tune with austerity in the whole world, and keep it sensibly priced, people will buy the legitimate. Where they get angry...
We have an issue.
Go on.
Sorry, we have an issue here in Australia. The cost of a song in America on iTunes, for example, is half what we pay in Australia.
Right.
Yeah.
Inexplicably, we don't know why. So much yelling is going on here about that because we're still paying double. To what everybody else
How much does it cost you to download a song in Australia, Rachel?
Well, just a really basic example.
Yeah.
It would cost, let's say, for example, number two on the list that we've got here of the 2012 top sellers was Gautier, somebody that I used to know, which is an Australian singer, and it costs $5 to buy it here, and it costs $1.99 to buy it in the United States.
So it costs you $5 to download one song?
Right.
That's five Australian.
Not all of them, but anything.
No, but just say on average. So one song would cost you roughly $5.
Yeah. Yes, but if you buy it in the United States on a United States iTunes account, it'll cost you $1.99.
But if there are 10 songs on an album, that means it costs you $50 to buy that album.
One album will cost you about $25, $26. So it's not worth buying one single. They're trying to get you to buy the entire album even though you don't want it.
But that actually means that the price of an album has gone up exponentially over the last 10 years.
Exactly. Doesn't make any sense. That's why we're yelling.
Ah, right.
Yeah,
okay.
I can buy a CD for, say, £5, but to download it on iTunes, which is supposed to be the cheap and economic way of doing it and everything, actually could cost me, like you say, £27, £30 to download that album.
No, in Australia, Lee, not in the UK.
Well, all right, I was euphemistically being in Australia then, just changing it to English.
So. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so that is, again, so that has been cashed in upon what was seen as a free service to bring music to the masses, bring free art to the masses, has actually been cashed in on by big businesses, and we've been ripped off again.
It's iTunes that have done that, because if you look at competitive services, because there are a number of them out there, you'll find the cost of a lot of those is much lower than iTunes, people.
Mm. But it still outstrips the price of buying the CD and copying it over yourself.
No, it doesn't. No. If you remember years ago, Lee, we used to actually run an advert, which is why I can't say it, for a download music service, which still runs and is huge.
Yeah.
And the cost of doing that, absolutely, the cost of doing it is so low compared to iTunes. But, of course, they haven't got the muscle of iTunes.
That's exactly what I said. Big business has cashed in on it. Mm.
Mm.
Yeah. Interesting.
Do you ever download, Mark?
Do I download? No, I don't. No, I don't at all, actually. I don't know. I've got all my music left over from my old days, and I haven't really upgraded myself very much, really. I'm just a codger.
You haven't missed anything.
Oh, thank you. Yes, there's some brilliant stuff.
Yeah.
There is.
No, there isn't.
Flow Boom
Bomb. Oh, yes, there is.
The top 20 sellers, most every one of those tracks is very good.
Except for that Gangnam Style.
Gangnam Style.
That was brilliant. That was the best.
That was horrid.
That was one of the best market.
Oh, absolutely.
It was a load of fun, really. Yeah.
It was. Thank you.
It was a load of something.
It put the fun back into pop music. Pop music.
Gangnam Style.
Put the rubbish back into pop music. Somebody that I used to know. Look at that. Yeah, somebody with a goiter.
Just be careful there. He's Australian, so you just watch yourself, please.
What did I say? It's a bloke with a goiter. Somebody that people used to know. 11.8 million downloads.
It's a good track.
No, Rach. Lee is old.
Lee's not old.
He's Norman Collick or whatever his name is.
Norman Collier. Yeah, sorry, for those who don't understand, Norman Collier's act on stage was pretending he had a broken microphone. So he'd be as used on the. But he would manage to get jokes out at the same time by some bizarre reason.
I thought he was eating the pasty.
No. Anyway.
We are young. Maroon 5, payphone. What a loader! Maroon 5, one more night!
What's wrong with that?
Well, the kids are doing all the downloads, so this would reflect what they're listening to, I suppose.
It would. And thank you, Rachel. Thank you.
What?
Thank you.
Thank you, Rachel.
This is a regular. I'm going to stick this one in. This was a regular argument of mine, because I don't mind admitting my age and that I used to listen to offshore radio stations in the 1960s, because other than that, we had to listen to the Bath Bun Company, which was boring, diatribe from some past era of the 1930s, and young people hated it. So young people voted with their feet and didn't listen to it. Young people wanted to listen to their music the way they wanted it. And yet today, the people that were all the same in the 1960s going, oh, yes, we'll have Love and Peace and psychedelia and all the alternative music because we don't like the old stuff. Today, they go, oh, the new stuff's all rubbish, don't you know? It's the old stuff that's good.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, I've got a 15-year-old, and she, for Christmas and her birthday, all she wants is iTunes vouchers.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
And so this list reflects what the young people are listening, what the young people are listening to.
Yes.
Back in my day, yes. We just needed a rash and a turntable and everything was just fine.
Why did
you have to have a rash?
No, a rat, dear. A rat. A rodent.
A rat? Why? What did you do with the rats?
What's my that makes stuff go round? It's like a hamster, you know. You don't require any electricity.
Oh, well, I know I need to clean your things.
Right. Could you catch up, please?
There is a very simple point to this. All you can say is well, the music that you're talking about, condemning, the psychedelic music, the blues and the rock and roll from eras past, what you have to look at is that it has stood the test of time. And something like Gangnam Style will not stand the test of that time. Tiptoe Through the Tulips by that big fatty bloke, that never stood the test of time, and that was a what about Shut Up In Your Face? How did that stand the test of time?
Exactly. And I know it.
You remember them all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's because I'm a music critic and I have to know my subject.
I don't have to know Tiny Tim, but I do.
Exactly. Can I just ask a question here then? If these older tracks stood the test of time, why aren't they on the most popular commercial radio stations today?
Well, because basically popular commercial stations tend to avoid anything with any great...
No. If they've stood the test of time, why are they not on playlists on commercial radio today? Answer, because...
The answer is that they are. If you go to be, if you listen
that got
to
him,
say,
that got him, that got him.
Yeah, answer is simple.
If you go to Radio 2 and you listen to their playlists, Radio 2, just as an example, and a non-commercial station, then what they actually play is music from the 60s, the 70s, and they never, ever really get beyond the 80s.
And do the young people listen to that?
I think a fair...
You're wrong.
You haven't asked them.
Yeah, you're wrong. Have a look at the Rajar figures.
A poll.
Take a look at the figures for the UK and you'll find the young people do actually listen to Capital, Radio 1, where they will hear music like this because they want their music, not old people's music. They don't want their mums and dads' music. Music makes a statement to a youth group. And so they want their own music, and quite right too.
Why then is the audience at most of the big rock venues, and this is the transcendence of good rock music, old-fashioned rock music, the old people's music, the demographic of the audience which goes to, say, a Dylan concert or a Stones concert or a Floyd concert is everything from 5 years old to 90.
Yeah.
Now, that is feeding a public need and desire in
who's
a creative...
Who's buying the five-year-old ticket? I don't know a five-year-old that works in a coal mine...
No, I don't. We'll be back in part two of radio, of the radio debate. No, we'll drop that one now. Postcard from back. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
From the heart of the earth to the world, RTI.